Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Now for the newest installment of our Ask an Expert series, I have a confession. I have a hard time keeping houseplants alive. I can bring them into my house. I can set them up, give them care and attention. And then they turn brown, the leaves, they start to drop. Another one bites the dust. I'm a killer. I'm sorry. It's time to break this pattern and turn that brown thumb into a green one. I'm up for it. Summer Rain Oaks is a houseplant expert. She knows just about everything there is to know about caring for plants in a city environment. She's the founder of Homestead Brooklyn, Plant One on Me, and the host of YouTube series Houseplants Masterclass. She's got a new book out titled How to Make a Plant Love You, Cultivate Green Space in Your Home and Heart. And she's joined us to answer your questions. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me here.
All right, call out. Do you have a question about caring for your houseplant? You can ask Summer. Our number is 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. So I saw a video of your apartment. You have about 500 plants?
It's a little over 1,100 now. Yeah, there's been a lot of videos, but I've been growing them for 10 years. So
1,100 plants in your apartment.
Yeah.
So how long does it take you? This is just a personal question. How long does it take you to take care of all those plants?
You know, so I take care of my plants every day. It's a daily kind of moving meditation for me. But Sunday for me is the day where I like really go at it. So that's like my plant Sabbath, if you will. Mm-hmm. So I could be taking care of them for 1 hour to 8 hours that day. But usually during the regular the other days, it's usually just 15, maybe 30 minutes, not very long. But I have a lot of like watering hacks and things that I do to help me make it not be such a quotidian chore.
Yes, I saw in the video, I thought she's got a hose in her home.
Yeah, yeah, it's an expandable 150-foot expandable hose.
How did this start for you?
You know, I mean, if you go way back, you know, I grew up in northeastern Pennsylvania. I grew up in a very beautiful bucolic area. And I knew always since I was a little girl that I wanted to go and study nature. And so I went to school for environmental science and entomology. And then eventually I found myself in New York City for what I was doing at the time. And I began to bring plants indoors because it was one of those things that I think bridged the gap between you having the ability to be able to like walk out and grass, which I don't have as much any longer, and then just being able to have some plants around me.
You have a chapter in your book titled Our Need for Nature.
Yes.
And so I think people who are city dwellers, they want to be in touch with nature, but when you it's hard to find access. Do you really think houseplants can bridge that?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of my book is actually deepening our love for nature. And there's ways to do it that don't always require us to go back to the forest. Although I am totally advocating for people to do that as well, because I think there's a lot that we miss out on. But parts of the chapter of my book allows people to get into things like active observation, I call, where even if you have on your way to work, you see a plant, kind of putting yourself in that plant's place and being able to intuit that plant's needs. Like, how did it get there? Why is it leafy on one side? Why is it growing the way that it is? And really kind of putting yourself in that place and creating stories. And those stories could be completely wrong, but at least you're kind of thinking about it on that kind of level. And, mm-hmm. you know, much of the book is actually about creating these rituals and routines with your plants. So it's not just about the tactical information of, you know, how do I care for this plant here, but developing those softer skills to be able to intuit a plant's needs.
We've got a call already. This is Esty, who is calling us from Brooklyn. Hi, Esty. Thanks for calling All of It. Hi. Well, let me click a little harder. There you are, Esty. Hi.
I hear you perfectly.
I hear you perfectly now as well. What's your question?
So I'm really good with all of my houseplants, but I am really bad with the orchids that I keep being given as gifts. Inevitably, it comes with instructions to give it 2 ice cubes a week. And inevitably, I lose the flower, and I'm just left with the plants on the bottom.
I'm assuming these are Phalaenopsis orchids, the ones that you can find in the grocery stores. And
yes, yeah. yes.
Yeah. I spoke to a wonderful orchid expert who is head of the Long Island Orchid Society, and I asked him about that because the directions of giving them two ice cubes is prevalent. You find it in a lot of orchids. And he and I talked about and described it because I kind of poked at him. I'm like, why do people do that? And he said, you know, I think the person who probably put that information out there was really well-meaning because he probably knows people are really busy people. And so the ice cubes would eventually melt over the roots. But, you know, most of these plants are subtropical and tropical species that we bring indoors. And they don't like to be in ice water much in the way that most of us don't like to be in ice water unless you're maybe like Wim Hof in it, like, you know. So, you know, the idea of putting ice cubes on roots is not necessarily one that I would recommend. Most people with their orchids, you know, I have one that is now reblooming, Phalaenopsis, that's reblooming. I have it in my northeast window. And I dunk it in lukewarm water, usually filtered water, every 2 weeks, being in a northeast window. And so oftentimes you're watering these plants in relation to the light that you're giving it. So I would, you know, recommend taking your orchid, you know, dunking it or submerging it, not just like in with regular tap water, let it sit for a while or use a filtered water and let it sit in there for about an hour and take it out and make sure the roots dry. That would be my recommendation versus just putting ice cubes on it, which I know a lot of the care tags actually say this. And like I said, it's always well-meaning, but it could actually steer people in the wrong direction.
My guest is Summer Rain Oaks. Her new book is called How to Make a Plant Love You, Cultivate Green Space in Your Home and in Your Heart. And by the way, Summer will be giving a plant workshop at Plant Shed on Prince Street on July 20th. This is just a really beautiful line from your book. You write, don't just ask what plant you'd like to live with, but ask what plant would like to live with you.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
You know, that's really one of the central themes of the book, where oftentimes we'll go into a plant shop and we might not know anything about the plant. And they're like, oh, I really want that one, right? And I know exactly where I'm going to put it in my home without really thinking about the kind of conditions that you're putting it in. And this is also a metaphor for the book, because this book is not just about plants. It's also about people and the way that we treat ourselves and the people around us. So much of what I say in this book could be, you know, has a lot of like depth and meaning to us as well. But, you know, when we think about it, we have to say, well, what plant would be best in our conditions that we're giving it? What kind of light do I have? What kind of intensity and quality of light? You know, when I give a lot of workshops here in the city, about 2/3 of people actually don't even know what directions their windows face.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So it's like finding that, because plants are so, they need light. That's, you know, what they eat. That's how they photosynthesize. So even knowing what direction our windows face, the quality and quantity of light that's coming through, that's going to better serve us and what kind of plant is going to have most success with us.
Some of our lines are completely full. All right, let's go to Marquise in Newark. I think he has something to say that's sort of touching on what your subject is right now.
Yeah.
Hi, Marquise.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What's up?
So I've got three plants. I've got Rick and Morty and Hob.
Great.
And I need a Calvin, but I spend time with them. Like, I sit down, I meditate every day with them.
Great.
And, you know, I burn incense, and they've been doing really well and growing really well. But I found that, like, I kind of maybe went into a dark place maybe like a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And maybe I was in it for like 2 days. And one of my plants, Rick, who's done the best, like, just growing, one of his leaves like got really brown really quickly. And I'm wondering, do you find that plants like move with our energy quickly if you spend time with them? Did that happen to you?
I think it's a really wonderful question. And I think one of the things that I would just like to add is, you know, with How to Make a Plant Love You, I brought in so many people who have stories similar to yours that, you know, really have projected themselves on plants and their plants back on them, about how they've used plants to really help them in a positive kind of manner. And, you know, I can't say that, you know, my plants respond to me in different ways, or like the music that I play, but I do think that if we are you know, singing to our plants or taking care of our plants or expressing ourselves, then we probably are more intuit to their needs. And therefore, you know, maybe we'll provide a little bit more observation and care for them. So, you know, perhaps there's also something that you're projecting also on your plant. And that's actually, I think, a good thing that we see ourselves in plants. And that's a way to kind of bring us a little bit closer to nature. So I hope you get through that dark patch in your life. And it's just really wonderful to see that you're using alternative means like meditation and as well to kind of work through some of that.
Marquise, good luck to you. We have a lot of calls about succulents.
Yeah, go right for it.
Matt, tell me about your succulent.
Hi, how are you?
Good. We need to know about your succulent. Come on.
So I did a quick little research and I have a jade plant succulent. It was
yes.
given to me as a wedding gift and was a wedding favor, and mine has turned mutant. I water it probably every 2 to 3 days and it is growing at an alarming rate, maybe 1 to 2 inches a month. Didn't know if this was normal because I'm starting to have to build braces with chopsticks.
you're starting to bonsai your plant. It's wonderful. So you have a crassula. It's a type of, like you said, it's a type of jade, and they do kind of get woody. And it's so funny because I just did a houseplant home makeover on my YouTube channel, Plant One On Me, and one of my friends had gotten a piece of jade from his family that is now like probably 30 years old. And I was just joking that he had these chopsticks holding it up. We are experiencing the growing season. And of course, if you're giving that plant some really incredible light, and a jade would prefer to be in kind of like a western or southern exposure, they can handle that because they are this kind of like thick succulent and that has a lot of water storage unit. Then he's probably really happy. It sounds like you're making your jade extremely happy. And mind you, those things could get like into big bushes. So, and that will probably be with you for a while, and it will probably even drop off pieces of itself, you know, the stems and whatnot, and start to propagate in other ways. Or you could actually, I would suggest coming to one of our plant swaps, clipping off a piece of your jade and sharing it with somebody. And if you think it's getting too large and in charge in your home.
Good luck, Matt. Let's go to Tracy in Brooklyn. I'm feeling Tracy's pain and her problem. Hi, Tracy.
Hi.
What about your Boston fern? What's going on?
Well, I'm subletting. I'm taking care of it for someone. And then when I got there in November, it was big and beautiful. And now it's like half the size. And on one side, there are very few leaves. And I followed her instructions, and that didn't seem to be working. And so I did a little bit of research. You know, I tried just watering it very little every day and spritzing it, and that's not working. And it's just looking really sad right now.
Boston ferns, ferns in general. How good of a friend is this person? Because ferns are hard. She's really putting your friendship to the test right here. Boston ferns, I'd be curious as to when you think your friend actually got it. You know, because sometimes, you know, if she had gotten it recently, then oftentimes the fern will be really big and beautiful. But oftentimes some of the things that we don't know when we bring home a plant from a garden center or nursery is that it acclimatizes and at a much slower rate to our homes if we're not giving it the appropriate amount of humidity and light and temperature and everything along those lines. So sometimes it actually just drops its leaves to adjust to the light that we're actually giving it or the less suboptimal conditions. And that's kind of like the secret thing that nobody tells us when we walk into a garden center or nursery. Now, if she's had this for a while, then sometimes it's really difficult to just tell, you know, somebody who is a friend to come in and just do the things that they've always done, especially because, again, as I'd mentioned before, you often have to water it in relation to the light, mm-hmm. observing the plant and kind of what it needs. In many cases, like Boston ferns, they shed like sheepdogs if you're not giving them the kind of most optimal conditions. And if something gets a little bit too much light or too little water at any point, I mean, it really only takes about 15 minutes, same as if you're on the equator and you're kind of sunning yourself on a beach, to get a bad sunburn. The same thing happens with a plant and it could lose its leaves quite religiously. So I can't pinpoint exactly what the problem might be, but I would actually say that ferns in general, including Boston ferns or maidenhair ferns, which are also quite popular and people love, is that oftentimes they do like to be well watered. But again, I would pull it away from any kind of direct light if it's in it, because as we get into the summer months, you know, that light could become pretty intense, and you want to make sure that it's shielded from some of those bright kind of direct light conditions. And then call your friend. You know, if your friend's around, phone a friend and tell her what's happening. But Boston ferns, as well as other ferns, you could cut them right back, and a lot of times their little fiddleheads and fronds will come right back up.
Something I'm hearing from you with every caller is there's a certain power of observation you have to
have.
The plants are going to talk to you. They're going to tell you in some way. You have to kind of tune into their frequency.
Yeah, exactly. We have to remember how to listen to our plants. And that's a lot of what the book is about, is really developing those soft skills, those observational skills. And you really hit the nail on the head. Like if I tell you, like, observe that plant, you might say, well, it's green. But then you have to go a little bit deeper. We almost like have lost the language to be able to communicate that. But, you know, as we start to bring plants into our lives, we start to develop a sensitivity towards them.
My guest is Summer Rain Oakes. The name of her new book is How to Make a Plant Love You, Cultivate Green Space in Your Home, Your Heart, and Your Heart. Toby from Long Island, I'm told, is excited.
Oh, Toby.
Hi, Toby.
Hello.
Hi. Wow. I'm thrilled to talk to you. I've had this lemon tree since my bar mitzvah, which is more than 50 years ago. And everything has been going well. We got it at a gas station. And my loft is in Long Island City. I'm an artist, and I've taken care of it for many years. And 3 or 4 months ago, it started getting little black bugs on the top leaves. So I called a friend of mine who knew about plants, and she said, cut off the top, you know, cut off where it is. And I did that, and I kept doing it, and it kept getting worse and worse. And then she said to me, just cut it off all the way at the bottom. I said, oh, I don't want to do it. I've had it for 50 years. And she goes, do you want to have a chance of it living? And I said, yes. And I did, and now it's growing amazingly, like, wow. But I now have been checking the dirt, and I see little black bugs in the dirt and little things that look like pearls, and I smush them, and they're hollow. I just want to know if there's, I don't know what that is, and I don't know if that's normal. I just really am so excited that it's growing, like, insanely now. In the last 3 weeks, it's grown over a foot. So do you know what that could be? Or
yeah, well, can you describe the black bugs to me? Were they something that were moving? Were they something that were stationary?
On the leaves, they weren't moving, and it felt quite sticky, and it got all over the floor.
Yeah,
and
okay.
And now the things are not sticky. They're in the ground. There's nothing. They look perfect now, but I don't want to take a chance on anything happening. I think they're two separate things, but I don't know.
Yeah. So did the top ones look a little woody, like a little brown, like almost like you know, kind of thing that you could pick off with your fingernail since they weren't moving?
I tried to, but there were so many of them, and they came under the leaf.
Okay, yeah. So you probably had scale, which is a type of sucking insect that really plants itself on the leaf. Very common in citrus, by the way, as well as like mealybug, which is also a type of scale, but more cottony. And that sap and that sticky thing that you were probably feeling was actually their frass. So that's a nice way of saying insect poop, because they suck out the really yummy juices and they put out their little, you know, sugary sap out of their bum. And that's what you probably feel on the leaf. Your friend is right. Your scale is pretty difficult to actually get rid of unless you're kind of using something that's a little bit more of a systemic like insecticide, which I don't usually like to recommend. Usually when you have an insect infestation, if you have like aphids or anything like that, I usually recommend like spraying the leaf with sharp sprays of water. But with scale, you really have to get your fingers into it to remove. Now, you probably saw some of that scale also fall to the bottom of your soil. So I would also recommend maybe going through your soil and kind of like, you know, perhaps even doing some new soil. They do seem pretty hollow because they're just like kind of like a little, you know, kind of crunchy thing. Now, I would, if you see something that's moving that's blackish, that maybe looks like a little bit of like a graphite shard, you might have thrips, which have become quite common. And there I actually use, and this might not be, you know, your choice, but I use integrated pest management, which is beneficial insects. So bringing in like green lacewings, which you could get online. Hmm. Or if you use like a horticultural spray, you could do that as well. But I would recommend, since citrus loves light, don't put that into the light after you use the horticultural spray, just because it can actually damage, it could be phototoxic to the leaves. So make sure it's an indirect light. And then once the horticultural spray is gone, you could actually put it back into the sun. But it sounds like, you know, your bar mitzvah plant is surviving and thriving and really wants to live on.
Summer, what's the name of your YouTube channel?
It's called Plant One On Me.
Summer Rain Oaks, thank you so much for joining. I think we're going to have to have you back. The lines are still full.
Oh, yeah. People love their plants.
People do love their plants. The name of her book is How to Make a Plant Love You, Cultivate Green Space in Your Home, in Your Heart. Thank you so much for coming to the studio.
Thank you.
Stay with us here at All of It.